How many of you have been touched by the Master's hand? It's amazing what the Lord can do. In fact, I heard a statement said, the person made the statement, the world has never seen a person who's totally 100% giving himself to the Lord. There's always things we hold back, but you know, what can he do? And you look at what the fishermen, the 11 fishermen kind of turned the world upside down. And so I think it's often, we often limit God instead of, and we often limit each other. I'll never forget when a guy came to college, was playing basketball in college. He was about 5'10". And first practice, he was older, married, and he'd shoot the basketball really strange. He'd put the ball, both sides of the ball, over his head and throw it. I thought, man, that's the weirdest looking deal. Well, he started, I didn't. I'll never forget, we went up against Dakota Falls Bible College. And we were illegal to dump when I played that many years ago. He went over top of a 6'7 guy and dropped it in. We called him Rabbit. He was quite a ball player, and you never know. You don't judge somebody when you first look at them. They might surprise you quite a bit. But anyway, I had it happen to me again when I was playing the Fortune in a pickup game, and to me, it was an older gentleman. He said, do you mind if I play? I said, no. I was in high school, and I thought this would be easy. He's old. Well, he destroyed me. Every shot I took, he rejected. He was shorter than I was. Finally, after the game, I said, do you play ball? He said, yeah, I'm semi-pro. I'm not even on a team, but I can see why you are on a team. So you never know. But when your master's hand, he can do a lot of things. We've been going through, if you remember, over the last few weeks, we took 2 weeks on the problems that affect a team and its vision. We also did 2 weeks then on building blocks to a great team. We did five each week. We also did what type of teammate are you, and we had five different things to make a good teammate. Basically coming from the one another is the scripture, if you remember. We then also saw the last week the guiding principles for success. If you remember, we seeing the true picture of stepping stones. We had those of second chances. We saw different people. We helped staying on course. We saw that with Joseph. And then showing the way of how to do it, we saw that with Caleb. But today I'd like to think about, just because we have the guiding principles, how many of us are taking them and giving them to other people? So you can use the same number, the same letters, GPS, but only giving principles for success. Or as Glenn would probably like to call it, mentoring. There's a lot of things about it, but giving principles. So I want to think about it. You think about that too. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Solomon wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, did he not? Later in life, to try to do what? To try to give you principles, and you and I principles, how to stay on course and not mess up, whether it's young individual or an older individual, learning from the mistakes and all the things that he went through in his life. So I think it's interesting how many of us are really looking at it. Paul's about to die in 2 Timothy, and he does the same thing. He wants to give principles to Timothy. So why don't we look at it? And 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Glenn might have heard this word. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Swahili. H-E-K-I-M-A. Hema, do you know what it stands for? English translation would be wisdom gained over time. Wisdom gained over time. The difference, though, I think, too, as we look at this, it's not just a personal experience. We need the Holy Spirit. And a lot of that is without it. But look at it, first of all, giving principles for success. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 1, it says, you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice it says, you, therefore. It's going back to the previous chapter. And you need to go back and say, why is it therefore? If you look in verse 5 of chapter 1, it makes this statement, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, talking about Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. Notice, before you can give out principles of success, you have to gain principles of success. And you stop and think about it, who were Timothy's teachers? His grandmother, his mother, and then you also had Paul, as well as the Holy Spirit. And you think about it with Paul, you remember in Acts chapter 6, Paul then selected Timothy to go with him on his missionary journeys, and Timothy was with him a great deal. But, you know, good question to ask ourselves is, who are our teachers? According to Luke 6 and verse 40, it makes the statement, a pupil is not above his teacher, but when he is fully trained, he'll be as his teacher. You become like the people you're with. And so what happens is, how many of us, when we young people go off to college and they do a lot of falling in for a lot of things that take place, were they fully trained before they left? So I think it's important to recognize it. Not only do we have teachers that are that way, you also have in Ephesians 4, notice in verse 11 to 14, it makes the statement, he gave some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, so that he will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Why is it that we come on Sunday? Why do we come on a Wednesday? It's so that we can learn more, so that we then will not be tossed to and fro, but we're gaining so that we can give. Help us through every week to do it. That's the reason why Sunday school was started. You ever look at why Sunday school was started and where it was started? It started in England when a young man saw all the kids, young men getting in trouble, young boys getting in trouble, and they're on the streets. We need to teach them the Bible, and that's how Sunday school got started. And so I think it's interesting. Same thing with training union, but so many things we used to do that we no longer do. What you also have in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, was it all scriptures inspired by God, is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, how? In all things. So who are our teachers? Who are our teachers? What we read, what we hear, what we see, it all affects what we're getting our insight. If you only see one thing, only hear one thing all the time, your conclusion's going to come one way. So notice, and think about it. Gaining insight, one, is in who's our teachers. You saw that. The second one, what about our company? Paul got to be with the company, if you remember, Timothy with Paul. But what about in Psalms chapter 1? Remember, it says, be careful who you sit, who you stand, and who you walk with, because you will become like this. But blessed is the man who is... does that with the Word of God. So who do we have company with? Who are our close friends? Who do we listen to? Parents used to get on me when I was being around certain people. They could tell me who I was around because of my attitude. That ever happened to any of you? They didn't like me being around certain individuals. Oh, no, they don't have any effect on me. They did. A lot more than you realize. A lot more. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells you what? Bad company corrupts what? Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. If you're around a person giving you anger, what's going to happen? You're going to act that way. So he's talking about gaining insight. Who's our teachers? Who are we listening to? It's also interesting is our commission. You stop and think about it. Mark chapter 3, when Jesus selected the 12, he said he selected the 12 so they might be with him and so that they might go out. Jesus sent them out on small missions from the beginning. How many of us are waiting until we know everything? That's the reason why so many people don't know. I don't know enough. Well, notice they would go out and when they'd make mistakes, or why couldn't we cast out this demon? Why couldn't we do that? That was a teaching opportunity to learn. I'm at the refinery and I've been there 20 some years. And I've talked to them the last few weeks saying, hey, you know, if I'm going to be leaving the next few years, do you think maybe you ought to think about who's going to take my place since nobody knows my job? You might want to think about it because I'm going to have to tell them so they can learn. And the only way they're going to learn is to spend time. They go out and little things at a time, and then they don't understand something, they can come back and you can explain it to them. So stop and think about it. You know, who are we gaining insight from? What are we doing? Is it the Word of God? Who's our teachers? What company are we with? It's a good question to ask, you know. Who are your teachers? How many of you are still learning things? Okay. Hopefully we all are. Hopefully we all are. If you don't believe it, how many of you are learning all the new technology? How many of you are having trouble learning the new technology? And you give it to your grandkid, what happens? And they figure it all out for you. Okay, so first of all, before we can give out the principles for success, we have to gain the principles of success. Notice then the charge that you had. Notice he said, you therefore, in chapter 2 and verse 1, be strong in the grace. He was given a gift. And you'll notice also, it's that second part, it's grace. So when you look at the gift he was given, go back to chapter 1 and verse 6. Remember, this is going back to chapter 1. For this reason, I reminded you to kindle afresh the gift of God which was in you through the laying on of hands. How many of us have a spiritual gift?
All of us.
How many of us have natural abilities that God has given us? But how many of us are like a fire? Does it need to be rekindled? He's telling Timothy, you need to do what? Paul's about to leave, and he's telling him, you need to rekindle. It's interesting with the fire, and the fire is burning. How many elements do you need to have a fire? Some are going to say three, or some are going to tell you four, depending on who you talk with. Okay, do you need fuel? Do you need an ignition source? And you need what else?
Oxygen.
All right, and then you actually need a reaction. But notice, you stop and think about it. If you have the wood, it's too close together and there's no air getting to it. But what happens when you want to put a fire out? Do you leave everything together or do you pull it apart? When you have coals, do you stir them a little bit? What happens? So notice what he's telling Timothy. Who needs to do this stirring up? Timothy needs to stir it up. So notice one is rekindle. Notice the reminder. He wants to remind them. Notice in the end of verse 6, the laying on of hands. Did others recognize Timothy's gift? They laid hands on him. Hey, others recognize this gift that's in you. You need to rekindle it. And others, they believed in you and they did this. And they support you. Remember, they're back and basically they stuck their neck out for you. And notice then you have on this verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power and love and discipline. Why would Timothy be timid?
Young?
Has Paul been through anything that Timothy's been with him with? Has he been in prison, beaten, everything else? And where is Paul right now? He's in Rome in prison about to die. And would you might be a little timid to want to say, hey, why do I want to speak and stick my neck out and speak up like Paul? But it's a choice that you have. It's interesting when you look at it, that you have this choice you have. Notice the recognition. Go down a little bit further when you look at verse 8. What we need to recognize. Therefore, talking about Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join in the suffering. So notice he needs to recognize his calling, doesn't he? Recognize Paul and his calling and recognize his. And don't be ashamed of it. If you associate with Paul, do you think anybody's going to notice you associating with Paul? And if you're an enemy of the state and you associate with him, do you think others are going to notice that too? So notice you go a little bit further. What about in verse 11? For I was, Paul speaking, for I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. Is Timothy also appointed and recognized as a leader? Notice his conviction in 12. I think it's important to look at the conviction. Notice in verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, for I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. It's important. Notice Paul is making deposits and he believes the Lord is a good place to make deposits, because he's going to keep them for him. And they will be there for him at the judgment seat of Christ. How many of us are convinced enough that I'll live a life for eternity no matter what it costs me today, because that life is worth more than this life? And Paul believed it. And that's why he's telling him these things. And it's important for us to recognize that when we want to also then mentor other people. Notice then
He tells him to rekindle. He tells him to remind him what he has, what gifts he has. Told him to recognize it. Notice in verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which have been you heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. How many people go off and they don't retain what they've been taught? Whose fault is that? Notice he's telling Timothy, retain it. Notice the second one in 14. Guard it. Retain it and guard it. And how many times is that not taking the place in all of our lives? Remember hearing a great speaker of yesteryear making the statement. You think about it. Every one of us has to guard, because the tendency is for all of us is to drift left. In our country, think of movies. Gene's mother was forbidden to go see Gone with the Wind. Why? There was one cuss word in it. Where are we today? You stop and think about just the drifting that takes place. And so it happens with all of us. We have to retain it and guard it. But again, that's our choice. Notice also, he tells you, what about refreshing? In verse 15, you have everybody from Asia, talking about Asia Minor, has left Paul. But notice in 16, refreshing. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains, but even when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. So he comes all the way from Ephesus, which is, you think about where Ephesus is at, Asia Minor, Turkey. Goes all the way to Rome, and they caught the early flight, and was there in a couple hours. Right? You think about that. And where was Paul at? He's in the catacombs. You're talking about underground. In disease and all that kind of stuff. And it says he eagerly sought me out. Can you imagine going through the different tunnels and doing everything else and asking, where's Paul, where's this? He searched for me, and he did it eagerly, and he found me. Now, how refreshing would that be if you were Paul? Everybody else deserts you, and here's a guy that's eagerly seeking you out and encouraging you, and it's just like a glass of fresh water that you just got refreshing. And people are discouraged and everything else. And we have a lot easier ways of doing it today. But how many of us are doing it? So you think about it. Here's this. Yeah, all these are choices, aren't they? Rekindle is his choice. To remember. To recognize his gift. To retain it. To use it. All of those things are his gift. So think about it. Life is a choice. Do I live for the line or do I live for the dot? And if I'm living for the line, talking about eternity, how does that change my thinking today? I'll give you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul makes this statement. Remember, how many times did he get the 39 lashes? You remember? 39 lashes, it's actually 40, but they only gave 39. That was the Jewish punishment with the whip, in case they miscounted, because if you go over that, they're afraid of death. So how many times did he get 39 lashes? 5. How many times did he get beaten with rods? That's the Roman punishment. 3. How many times was he stoned? 1. Left for dead. And may have died according to 2 Corinthians 12. Think about it. He also was in the deep. And what does he say about it? These light afflictions. I don't know about you, but I don't call it light afflictions. Why does he say it light afflictions? Because he's looking to the line and not to the doubt. And to the doubt, this is short. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 24, it makes the statement about Moses. What does it say? He gave up the riches of Egypt, the wealthiest nation on earth at that time, and he would have had all of it because he looked for the wealth and the riches of eternity. But you and I have the same thing we can do. So here you have, you think about it, we have gained the principles, we then have a charge to use our gift, and we have the charge, then obviously it's grace. You don't believe it, why are we here today? Why are we here today? Any one of us could have been taken long before now. And we also have then the choices that you have. So think about it. The next part, then giving the principles for success. Look at this in chapter 2. Then notice starting in verse 2, the main part of the message today. Notice what he tells you. He says, the things which you have heard from me. And you think about it. That's been over 30 years he's been listening to all this with Paul. In the presence of many witnesses. So it's not just you telling everybody this. These entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Notice the requirement. The requirement is to find what type of people? Faithful, available, and teachable. Now I tell you, I've been at the refinery, right? And I've been. You realize I have had 20 people who have come and started wanting to learn the job, and you start to tell them, and then what happens? They get sent off somewhere else, or the company is no longer there, and they come over them. After a while, you get tired of showing very many people very much about what to do because they're never there. It takes longer to show somebody than it is just to do the job. You want somebody who's faithful, available, and teachable. They're going to be there day in and day out. And notice then, Paul's saying, hey, don't just be giving this to, give it to faithful people, but why do you want it to be faithful? So they then will take it and give it to other people. You stop and think about it. That's what we have. I'll never forget if you ever looked at Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, it makes the statement, older women teach younger women what? How to love their husbands and their children. Now, how many of you ladies out here, I think most of us would fit the older category. Is that a command to you? Okay, what happens is we think we have to give a scripture and verse for all the things we're trying to do. And basically, it's just practical things with which you can do to teach them how to love. You would think it would come natural, but as you look today, I think it doesn't come natural for so many things. Teaching them how. I'll never forget, Jean came home one day and was kind of laughing. She had been out with another job a number of years ago, and young lady who hadn't been married very long was having real trouble with her husband. And she shared it at work. And these were non-believers. One of the older ladies just gave her some very simple, practical advice to do. Comes back on Monday. Oh, everything's fine. She did what the lady suggested that she do. I think so often we make things so much harder. But it is a command. We think we have to know the Bible and do everything just right. What practical advice can you give somebody to do it? So you think about it. The requirement. Faithful, available, and teachable. And the reason then was so they'll teach others. The reason people don't know their Bible today, same thing happened, you remember, in Judges. In Joshua, they knew the Lord because they were in the wilderness. And they were there. Judges chapter 2, it says the next generation did not know about the previous ones and what took place and all the teachings. That's why they had the memorials and everything else. And they're supposed to be teaching. Deuteronomy 6, they're supposed to be teaching. Some of us are passing it. We provide a great income and we provide great housing and everything else for our kids. If they need a tutor, what do? They want to know how to play ball, what do? But how many of us are really doing what's the most important thing? And teach them the Word of God how to live by. Notice then the recognize. How do you recognize a faithful, available, teachable type of person? And how can you be? Notice the first one, he's going to give you some characteristics about him. Notice the first one is that of a soldier. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. First of all, suffer hardship. A lot of you are in the military. What kind of housing did you have? Charlie, did you have some good food? Maybe some of that the leftover rations from the Korean War, maybe? Yep. powdered eggs, milk. It affects your food, your shelter. You're missing family. How many of us realize that we are a soldier of Jesus Christ, that we look at it that way? I'm going to be giving up a lot of things as a soldier. But also, it says active service. He doesn't entangle himself in the affairs. Charlie, did you buy any land over there? Any housing over there? How about you, Brian? Did you buy any house over there? No. Had no desire to, did you? Nope. It's amazing how much of the time we spend so much of our time worrying about this life when our real home is in the next life. Nothing wrong with owning a home or anything like that. But it's interesting, do we really look at it as a soldier? We see the single-mindedness. And notice the last part, he wants to please the one who enlisted him. Was it important to please the person over you, Brian? Don's going, yes. Okay? How many of us are wanting to please the one who's over us? So you think about it just as a soldier. I want you to stop and think about it. Jerry Lynn's not here today, but for 2 years, you know, or almost, was she 100% dedicated to try to take that nursing deal and cut it short? To get finished. Single-minded, going after it. But it affects others. It's a team effort. I'm sure Glenn had to do a lot of things that he wouldn't have to do before. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Single-minded, it's a team effort. But there's a goal in sight. I'll move us. So notice then, we want people who are soldiers. The second one, notice we want athletes. Notice in verse 5. The strictness. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. I remember when Will ran cross country and track when he was in high school and college. I remember when he first started. He was doing it because he wanted to get ready for basketball, but all of a sudden, no longer any carbonated drinks. All these different things. You know, you could go out to eat, you could get a Pepsi or whatever. Ooh, carbonation will cut down on my wind. I can't have that. So many different things. So he self-imposed those things because he had a goal that he had. How many of us are self-imposing things on ourselves? As there are certain rules that they have to run by, courses they have to run, but a lot of that is that they do it themselves to get in the best shape that they could be in. And it's amazing just how they will do that. Whether it be a wrestler or whoever, notice that the strictness that they have, and the reason why they do it is so that he can win a prize. How many of us are out there wanting to win a prize, and how many of us are just in the race because we're thinking, like, say, look, I just look good. You know? When I go to the refinery and I put Nomex on or I'm working out in this hot weather, I do it for one reason. There's a prize called a paycheck. I'm looking forward to the day when I leave that Nomex. People said, are you going to take it with you? No. That stuff is hot. And there's no, only reason I take it with me if I want to change the oil in my car. Other than that, I'm not doing it. But notice the strictness that you have, but you also have to go according to the rules. Notice the rules that you have, as you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have to do it for God's glory, for His benefit, not for our own. And He's going to stand before Him one day. We're going to be judged for it. So an athlete, that's where the term comes from. The judgment seat is actually an Iconium Games, pre-Olympic Games. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, the Iconium Games were going on. And Paul then sees them at the judgment seat, where the judges then, after the athletes came, they came to the judgment seat to receive rewards, their wreaths, stuff on their head. And that's what Paul saw. Notice then the strictness that you have. Then notice the other thing. Not only a soldier, but an athlete. But notice the farmer. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of his crops. Before he can share the crops, what does the farmer have to do? He has to sow them. You sow them, it's underground, And how long does it take for the crop to come? But he has faith that God's going to give him water, God's going to give him sunlight, the seed's going to grow, it's going to take time. And same thing with Timothy. You're a farmer, sow the seed. Have faith in the seed. What is the seed according to Matthew 13? The seed's the Word of God. Do you have faith in the seed that it will, there's nothing wrong with the seed. It will germinate depending on the soil with which it falls on. You keep reading a little bit about it. Notice what it tells you here in the last few verses. Notice, consider what I say to you, the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember that Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel, which has suffered hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not in prison. Remember the seed? I'm in prison, but the word of God's not. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may attain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Paul is sowing seeds. And by the way, did Paul sow more seeds when he was in prison or out of prison? You stop and think about it. Not, I don't know if we could ever answer that, but how many of the scriptures did he write while he was in prison that you and I are getting today? He's sowing the seed. John chapter 4, what does he tell the apostles? Remember when he's looking out over the Samaritan coming and says, you say there's 4 months under harvest? I say it's wide under harvest. Reap where you did not. Who did the sowing? The Old Testament prophets. And Jesus using the seed of the Word of God. So notice then, what is he saying to them? Giving up principles? You want to give them to the right people? You want to give them to people who are what? Soldiers? You want to give them to people who are athletes? Give them to people who are farmers who are going to stay dedicated or going to sow the seed and do it. Timothy, you need to do it, and that's the kind of people you want to give to, so the thing is going to continue. You ever realize where did our wheat come from in Kansas, Oklahoma? Where did it originally come from? How did it get here? It was sown in the garments from people that came over from Ukraine and Russia. When they got here, they took it out of the garments and sowed the seed, and that's what got our wheat going on. And it's done pretty well. We can do the same thing with seed here. So what type of disciple are you? And what are you doing with the guiding principles you have been given? Are you giving those guiding principles to other people? Otherwise, it's going to die with who? It's going to die with us.